Welcome back to a private service announcement with Nate Demetrius, the show where I talk and you listen. Except when we do interviews where I ask questions and I listen and you, the guests, are the ones talking. That's right, folks. This is the first time I am sharing with you an interview that I've done. I'm excited about this episode, a great way to start it off, and it's with none other than my good friend Curtis Anderton. He is the person who I would say is completely responsible for me even starting on this road of podcasting. And we have some really awesome conversations in this episode about all sorts of topics. Towards the beginning of the episode, you're going to find us talking about his daily routine and things that he finds an important part of his life, things that have made him the goal setting, accomplishing individual that he is. That kind of moves into a conversation about his business that he owns, an e-commerce retail business. You'll hear more about that in the episode. About halfway through the episode, we're going to switch gears and talk about his paramedic experience. He's working as a primary care paramedic with BC Ambulance during a world pandemic. He shares some really interesting insights and some statistics about what's going on in our world. I know you don't want to miss that. And to top it off, he shares some really, really great advice as a married man of 7 years. You're going to find some really interesting thoughts in what he has to say 3/4 of the way through our interview. So stick around. Please enjoy this interview that I'm going to do with Curtis Anderton. And I hope you enjoy the show. Thank you, Jesus, for this time that I get to interview my good friend and brother, Curtis. Pray that our conversations would be hilarious, great. It would just be a wonderful time and that we would learn lots from each other. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So, my friend, this is a really special moment for me. Curtis, you have been instrumental in me getting to this place where I'm doing my first recorded and distributed podcast interview. You were the original person to introduce me to podcasting in general. I always listened to your early show, the Define Startup Show, and that originally was your way of kind of looking at what business looks like and doing interviews with business people that you actually went out and found people that you had, I don't know, heard of, or I'm not, honestly, maybe later I'll ask some questions about how you went about that. But, you know, it was you who made it possible for me to actually think I could do podcasting. So I feel very full circle with this first interview being with you. Say hello, say hi to the people that are listening right now. And then we'll jump into some questions, my friend.
Awesome. Well, hello, everybody. Thank you, Nate, so much for having me. I'm like way too excited for this interview. I'm obsessed with podcasts, and I think this is such a fun process that you're going through, and I'm so thankful to be a part of it. And I've loved what you've done so far, and I'm excited to see these future interviews as we're in lockdown mode. So I'm looking forward to these questions you got for me, and hopefully we can make an entertaining podcast for everybody.
Totally, totally. That's the plan. Some of the listeners do already know who you are, Curtis, but some don't. So I want to make sure that everybody gets to know who you are a little bit throughout our time together. By this time in the episode, actually, I would have already given an intro about who you are. So you know what? I actually just want to start with a rundown of your day today. Start at the beginning of the day and give me just a little bit of a play-by-play of what your day has been leading up to this moment.
Awesome. So my average day, it kind of depends. There's two different days I'll have. It's either a day I'm at the station working on ambulance or a day off in between, which they look a little bit different, but in the end, they're very similar as far as my kind of rhythm throughout the day. So for today, for example, I'm not working on ambulance. So this morning, Shelby went to work, which is my wife, and she's a nurse. So we both got up around 6:30. I got her ready and kind of helped her get her food and stuff ready by the door. And then she took off around 7 a.m. And then after that point, I kind of dive right into the meat and potatoes of my day. And so it started off with, I always start my day off with planning. So I've got like this planner that I go through, some positive questions that I have, mindset stuff that I work through just to get myself in a good kind of mood for the day, a good mindset for the day, as well as kind of plan my goals and what I want to accomplish. Following
like small
that
goals for the day.
Exactly. So for example, my goals were today, for today were, I just started a business course. So I wanted to get 3 modules done of the business course. I needed to do some exercise. So I went for a 2-hour bike ride. And then, I needed to prepare dinner, which is what I'm going to be doing after this. So those are my 3 goals for the day. Some of them are simple and the point of it is just purely to kind of keep them in the back of my mind and, also give myself those 3 wins every single day. So yeah, after that, I, today specifically, I started right away with a exercise of some sort, which I like to do. And so I went on a 3-hour or 2.5-hour mountain bike ride, just kind of out Westwood Lake here in Nanaimo. It's got some fear struck into me a little bit, which is good. Needed right now. And, following that, I came home and started working on my business, which is Filthy Shades. And so a lot of admin stuff, a lot of customer service. And then, once that was done, jumped into this course that I'm doing, followed by some more kind of boring administration work, for marketing and, clean my house and walk my dog. And now I'm sitting here with you. So that's kind of been my day so far. It always will include some sort of business work for my own stuff, exercise. And then if I'm working, I'll be preparing for my night shift or going through my day shift. So yeah.
That's sweet. Yeah, no, there's a lot in there. And we'll probably get to some of the details that you were mentioning. But I mean, is that, you're saying that's one of your 2 typical days? Like today was one of 2 versions of a typical day?
Yeah. So it kind of, it kind of varies. Like if I'm going to nights, where I'm starting my night shifts, which at sometimes because I'm part-time, I could go to like do 6 night shifts in a row. So if I'm on night shift mode, I kind of have a bit of a different day where I'll throw like a 2 or 3 hour nap in the middle of my day, as well as incorporating a lot of caffeine. So that will change a little bit during, if I'm going to work though, I'll normally get up around 5:30 in the morning. Then I can get my mindset stuff done in the morning, do my planning for the day. And then I commute to work, start at 7 a.m. And then for the most part, I have time in between calls, if it's not a crazy day, that I can get, my administration stuff done for business and some reading and like sometimes exercise while I'm at work. So it changes a little bit and it's kind of a bit more sporadic. Like I just kind of have to fit in when I can. And there's days where I get to work and I literally leave it, like I'm out the door in the ambulance at like 7:01 and I'm gone until sometimes 9 PM that night, if it's a crazy day. So it kind of varies in that way, but it's all kind of hitting the same similar things, really focusing on being productive and exercise, and eating as healthy as possible throughout my day. So.
Well, I'm really struck by the fact that every single day you're getting up and thinking overtly about goals or about these things that you want to accomplish. I mean, that's part of your typical day, version A and version B, it sounds like. Just goal setting is a big part of your day. Huh?
Yeah, for sure. So as you know, Nate, like I've always, there's a couple different things. I've been a very unorganized person my whole life. I'm definitely on like kind of like the dreamer scale as far as like who I am, to the core of myself. I'm definitely,
yeah, like your personality or yeah, these kinds of things that are, yeah.
I'm a dreamer, a creative. I love to start things, go do things, but I'm not the organized, color-coded kind of person, that like, for example, Shelby is, or even you are, where everything's a lot more organized. So I've had to work really hard to be organized. As well as being in a better mindset to kind of achieve what I want, whether that's through business or through my personal life. And so I've really prioritized this last year, working on my goal setting and my planning specifically. And that planning could be just organizing my day, which in turn kind of helps me win each day. And I've kind of have this like current self mantra, which is, your actions compound. And I've been kind of saying that a lot to myself every morning, as like each little step I make towards eating healthy, working out, or maybe it's business, all those things start to add up throughout the entire year. And each moment and step I take throughout each day kind of adds up to a year of a lot of hard work and a lot of progress. So yeah, I've been really focusing on that. If you're curious about specifics, I have a planner called the High Performance Planner by Brandon Bouchard that I found about a month ago now, and I'm absolutely in love with it, and it has changed my life as far as keeping organized. So that's kind of how I structure that for the most part.
There's just an immense amount of intentionality that you're talking, that at least that I'm gathering here. You have the planner, you have the goals that you're working through. You're being intentional, trying to get better at being organized. Definitely good to have a partner like Shelby to spur you on. Oh, I'm sure that it's felt less of spurring on, more the whip at times. But
she is my biggest cheerleader and the number one motivator for me for everything that I've done in my life, basically. So I would not be anywhere where I am now without her. That's for sure.
Yeah, she's fantastic, and you two are a great couple. It's actually really cool to hear the way that you navigate different areas of your lives. And I think later I'll ask a question about that. But I really did want to jump back on what you said about Filthy Shades. Now, for any of the listeners who are not aware, Curtis owns his own business. It's called Filthy Shades. I've known Curtis for years. I've seen a steady progression over the years as he has gone from doing things like being a personal trainer to working in business kind of startups with his brother. And here's Filthy Shades. You know, Curtis, I just want to ask you a little bit about, in terms of your business journey, take me through a few of those steps and where you've come from and where you are now.
Yeah. So entrepreneurship has always been a part of my family. Stem from my parents, for sure. My dad has always had his own business, whether it's construction, renovation, and landscaping. And he's always really inspired us that we could do whatever we want in life. He also was very intentional about being at every sporting event, every kind of family event you could be at, during weekly hours and stuff when we were kids. So he put a lot of attention in creating a lifestyle for our family. And so that's inspired my brother and I to pursue a kind of a different lifestyle, I guess you could say, through entrepreneurship, so that we could kind of create a life that we want. I'm still in the meat and potatoes of it. I have a long ways to go. But for the last, it's kind of disgusting when I think about this out loud, but it's been about 10 years now since I've started taking, like, doing side hustles, which is crazy to think about.
10 years.
Yeah. Because I'm going to be 27 this year. So 16, it's actually longer than that, because that makes sense. So 16 years old is when I started personal training. And that was my first solo business. And so I had like up to 20 clients. I had a clothing company at that point as well. And so that was my first business venture. I did that for about 6 and 7 years, on and off, working at different gyms, doing freelancing, as well as starting different stuff with my brother on the side, online-based. I've probably started 10 different businesses or like pages or podcasts in the last 10 years. And it's crazy to think about. And I think this is really kind of the backstory of many entrepreneurs, is that there is endless failures and learning experiences. And at the very end of that, sometimes can lead to, a successful, quote unquote, successful business, where you're actually making money and maybe creating the lifestyle you actually dreamed of. And it's taken a lot of time, and every little project that I've done, for example, the Define Startup Show, has been a learning experience. From podcasting, I've gained so much experience with communicating, how to run an interview, how to sell myself, how to reach out to people through email to get interviews going. I've learned a ton about business through that means as well, because I was able to interview some amazing people for that podcast. I've started endless Facebook groups and Instagram pages. And for a long time, I used to beat myself up about it. But I think one of the most important part of entrepreneurship is starting and learning from your mistakes and taking those mistakes and moving forward and growing from that. And so all those separate different journeys and adventures that I was on have kind of led me to Filthy Shades today. And so what I'm doing is I actually sell sunglasses. I have a brand, and it's kind of ridiculous. I think people who know me would think that it's pretty fitting for who I am. A lot of my family who don't know me that well, like extended family, I want to say, were like, are your friends making this up for you? I don't understand. Like, your website, like, you don't talk like this. And, I definitely encourage you, purely not for like any way of supporting me. If you want a little laugh, just go to filthyshades.com, thefilthyshades.com, because some of the captions and stuff are pretty funny. I'm pretty proud of myself about it, actually. But yeah, so all that journey over the last 10 years has led me to this e-commerce business. So I basically have an Instagram page, and I sell sunglasses and clothing off of my website. And this is, I'm definitely at baby stages. This is definitely like a part-time gig that I do. Like I said, at my normal day job as a paramedic, and early mornings. But it's something I'm extremely passionate about, and it will be something that'll take me forward in life. And I think that, I know that there's some massive things to come, in the future. And I'm very confident that my goals and what I'm working towards are going to happen.
And I mean, Filthy Shades is relatively self-sustaining at this point, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, it is definitely a beast that is growing, and there's not much I can do about that at this point. And so it's a matter of nurturing it and scaling it to a point where I can fund my life doing it. And that's the goal at this point, is to get to the place where it's paying me to run it. So right now I'm not
a little bit of that passive income dream going
on. Come on. Exactly. That's the goal. So right now, every dime that I make is going back into the business, into marketing, into product research, to eventually get it to the place. My goal is by the end of this year to be working on it full time. So that's the goal. It's out there in the world. You guys heard it. So follow it, 'cause it's going to happen.
I guess for any of the people here who have even thought to themselves in the deep, dark corners of their room or something, hey, I want to build a business. I'm sure that there's so many avenues I could ask you this question, but I mean, even just for the logistics of your business, what have you realized now, having done this for 6-8 months, to help kind of frame your journey, what you needed to do financially to make this possible, or what kind of returns you're having? Like, just give me a little bit of perspective here.
So entrepreneurship, I think there's a big difference. Well, business is kind of a broad term, and entrepreneurship in itself is it's a total mindset, and a way of living. And for me, entrepreneurship is all about, one, being able to see an idea that could potentially work as a business. And then the most important part of that is taking action on that idea. And I think that's like what really stems, like, the entrepreneurs out there are really people who see things a little bit different, see a possibility of maybe a business happening, and then actually taking action on that. And so, for example, with Filthy Shades, I was wearing these ridiculous sunglasses, and so many people were asking for them. And right away, I knew that this was something I could probably make money on. And so I tried it, and I took the chance. I built the website, and here we are today with a business that I've been running for the last 6 to 7 months now. And I'm super excited about that. But so a big part of this journey has been seeing the opportunity, taking the action. And then the most important thing is being resourceful. It's insane how amount of work that goes into something like this. And I've had to learn how to build websites. I've had to learn basic bookkeeping. I'm attempting to learn how the whole accounting process works, which is extremely hard. I've had to learn marketing. There's so many aspects of business that I've had to learn in the last, it's been the last 10 years that it's kind of built up to this point, but there's been so many aspects of that I've had to figure out on my own through, I've probably watched 1,000 hours of YouTube in the last year of purely I don't know how to use Shopify website. How do I do that? Go look it up. And trial and error. And so if you are somebody wanting to start a business. Maybe you have that kind of idea in the back of your head. I definitely recommend that you take action and just give it a shot. Because it's a ton of fun. You'll learn really quickly if it's not something that you want or not. I think that having a job that you go to that pays you to be there, and then you go home and you wash your hands of it and that's it. There's a lot of freedom in that. And I think it's amazing. If you're somebody who loves to be creative and wants more than just a 9-to-5 and needs more fulfillment, maybe in a different way, I think pursuing your own journey in business is definitely a fun way to do that. But yeah, I don't know if that answered your question or not. There's kind of like so much that has kind of gone into it over the last few months that it's hard to really cap it up into a couple of different things. But yeah, being resourceful and taking action are the two biggest things, I think.
Oh, and just try it out, right?
Exactly, right?
You know, it really makes me think about the ideas that I've had. I mean, as a counselor and somebody who's going to go and do my master's in the next, COVID willing, honestly, I'll be starting my master's in the fall doing an online course, so it shouldn't be affected. But like my end goal is to have a private practice, mm-hmm. have a client base that I've brought in, have the ability to do counseling by a fire pit or go on a hike and counsel families and counsel first responders, mm-hmm. because I do search and rescue stuff. And I have a bunch of friends like yourself in the paramedic kind of field. I have family that's police officers. So there's just a bunch of different ways where I'm like, I wish I could own my own business. I wish I could move in that direction. And I'm for sure e-commerce is going to be a different animal than this kind of helping profession, owning my own practice, but just do it.
Yeah, maybe
it's a little bit of a prod for me. But you know, everybody, you got to take your steps, and you did 10 years of different steps that taught you things that were valuable for where you are right now. And I know part of the steps I'm taking is just going back to school and working in my field right now and building experience and building connections. And it's a journey. It really is. I want to move on to something you had said about, you're a first responder, you're a paramedic. That's an essential service. Now there's all this conversation over the last, what do you think's going to happen? Interesting question for you. Because there's been a lot of conversation about essential services, who's an essential service, what businesses have had to shut down and how that's affected the economy. And just, there's so many ways that this has affected our lives today. But I guess when I think about being a paramedic, which you are a primary care paramedic with BC Ambulance, there's been those stay at home orders that are in effect. And, you know, you and I have, we've talked together about the fact that now that there's more people staying at home, there's less people in the emergency rooms and hospitals. It's really interesting kind of balance there. So I guess part of my question is, what's it like to work at a time where there are empty emergency rooms during a world pandemic?
It has been absolutely crazy, to be honest, and seeing live the changes in policies, procedures, updates from the government every single day, going to work and all of a sudden your safety equipment you wear is completely different than you did that you wore the day before. And then all of a sudden that the procedures to get into the hospitals are completely different and they change every day. It has been crazy. First off, I am so thankful for all of the frontline workers, first responders, nurses, healthcare staff that have been out working their tails off right now. And not like in BC, we're all as a whole doing a great job for the most part about isolating. But if you look in the cities like New York and these large places in the States are getting absolutely hammered right now. There's 4,800 nurses from Canada commuting across the border to help out in New York right now. That's how insane it is.
Wow.
And I could talk a little bit about more about that later, because it is honestly horrifying what's going on in a lot of the places in the world because of COVID-19 getting out of control. And I think here right now, so I'm in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island. I have a lot of friends who are nurses on the mainland in Vancouver, as well as here on the island. And right now, things are slow within the hospitals. Depending on the units you're on, because there's a stay-at-home order, people aren't going to the hospital for stupid reasons. If you guys didn't know this, people go to the hospital on a regular basis for things like a headache, or they started vomiting, so they called an ambulance, or I stubbed my toe, call an ambulance.
Oh my.
And it's honestly ridiculous, but it's just the way things are. And so the emergency rooms are honestly normally jam-packed with people who probably, well, no, guaranteed do not need to be there. And so right now with this stay-at-home order, it's been great because the people in the emergency rooms, and I'm only really working within the emergency rooms as a paramedic. I don't really see the rest of the hospital, but for the most part, the emergency is quiet right now, which is a really good sign. Mm. The people who are there actually need to be there. They're extremely sick. And it's actually anybody who's in healthcare right now will probably get mad at me for saying the Q word. Quiet is like a very bad word to use within ambulance and a nurse. As soon as you say quiet, everything goes chaotic. It's just kind of the way it works. The emergency rooms have been quiet, which is great. And some people are, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's a really good thing that right now within BC, people are taking staying at home very serious, because the goal is we're not staying at home so that the virus just eventually dies and it goes away. The reason we're staying at home is to slow down this nasty curve of potentially overwhelming our hospitals. In New York, for example, it's such a condensed, busy city full of millions of people, and it hits so hard so early that they have no beds in the hospitals. There's not enough ventilators for the people who need them. And so it's very unfortunate, but there's literally doctors, paramedics, firemen being executioner and literally choosing who lives and who dies because there is not enough ventilators. Wow. And so that's what they're trying to prevent here. And I think we're doing a great job of it right now. And there's a lot of people working very, very hard day and night to make sure that we aren't overwhelmed. But to give you some context, in New York, this was an update I got last week, so things are very different. There was like 900 to 1,000 deaths from COVID-19 in, I don't know if it was in the States as a whole or if it was in New York. I can't remember, so I'm not going to, don't quote me on that. But in New York specifically, there is so many people who are sick and dying. And yes, a lot of these people are elderly, but there's also a lot of young people who are being seriously affected by this. There's so many people dying from this right now that they've run out of, they're running out of body bags, which is very morbid to say, but it's the truth. There is freezer trucks lining blocks around the hospital full of people right now of bodies of people who have died from COVID-19. There's nowhere to put them because there's so many people dying at a regular, at such a fast pace. They're starting to fill community centers, ice rinks full because there's nowhere else to put them.
Wow.
It's awful. And there's a lot of first responders who are writing about their experience right now. And people are comparing it that there's more people dying and the tragedy and the stress and the anxiety of being a first responder right now in New York City is the same, if not worse, than 9/11. Just to give you an idea of how much stress they're being put through right now. And so that's what we're trying to prevent here in Canada and BC. And I think we're doing a great job. However, with all this going on, it's kind of weird. It's in a weird way, the hospitals are quiet. I have never been so busy though on ambulance. It's kind of a weird thing because some of the changes, for example, is the borders are closed. So the drugs coming from different countries have stopped. And so right now, drug dealers are having to basically mix whatever they can into their heroin, into their meth. And so there's a lot of bad drugs out in the streets right now. So there's being overdoses left and right. for example, the other day, my station alone did 3 overdoses, and I've only done 2 in the last year in Nanaimo. Or not in Nanaimo, but in Ladysmith. Like, there's a ton every single day, but just as an example of my station alone, it's nothing like, obviously, Vancouver, downtown Van, where it's constant. But so that's been a huge change, as well as, like, people who, when they're calling for us now, say if somebody's having a heart attack, they'll wait for the absolute last possible moment to call because they don't want to go to the hospital because they don't want to get sick. And so we're showing up to people who are extremely sick, who are actually injured. And so it's been definitely a big change because majority of our calls now are very serious. For the truth of the matter, before all of our calls, like maybe 80% of our calls are kind of ridiculous. And
can you say that you have a preference then, the way it is right now or the way it was before?
Like right now, for sure, I prefer it specifically because I do feel like when we're going to calls, I'm learning a lot more, as well as I feel like I'm actually helping people. On a regular basis, we go to people's homes because they fell over because they were intoxicated. It's happened to me countless times where I've shown up and picked up a 35-year-old to 50-year-old male or female off the ground because they're so intoxicated and they didn't know what else to do, so they called 911. The people who have the normal flu who call for us on the day one because they vomited twice. Like, that kind of stuff happens a lot where it's like, you don't need medical help. You need to sit and sleep. Like, you need to have some rest. Obviously right now, those symptoms, it's different, but still. So I definitely prefer it right now. I think that the healthcare service is being used how it's supposed to right now and not being taken advantage of in a lot of ways. I think we're very privileged in our society that we can walk into an emergency room with a stubbed toe and be seen by a nurse.
Right.
Like, it's pretty unbelievable if you think about it that we have that privilege. However, I think it is taken advantage of a lot. And so right now it has been really great seeing that the nurses are not being distracted by silly reasons and they're actually being put to work with their skill set that they are very, very, very well trained for or with.
Yeah, totally. It's not a good situation as a whole. It's one of those things where we want to see the end of this happen as soon as possible. But if you think about it from a professional standpoint as a paramedic, I mean, there's a lot of things that have shifted, not just in policy and procedure, but even in the society's, the way society actually accesses healthcare, that almost seems maybe a little bit more balanced.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's been, I think that we're going to learn an absolute ton from the stats and analytics and everything from this whole world pandemic. And I think that a lot of stuff will change as far as how things are run around the country in many, many ways. So I'm excited for that. Obviously, that's scary because this is a terrifying time. But before moving on, I just want to encourage everybody, like, I am seeing updates on COVID-19 on a daily basis at work. It's something that I am mandatory have to keep up with for my own safety and obviously for the patients I pick up and everything. But for people who aren't seeing this on a regular basis, which is a huge population, like, you guys staying at home is helping in a big way. And you might not realize it. A lot of people are feeling very useless right now because maybe you lost your job, which I'm so sorry if that's happened to you. That's awful. Maybe you're working from home on a laptop and you're not able to do your job properly. There's so many, you can't see your friends, you can't see your family, but I really encourage you guys to do your very best to stay positive. Call your friends, call your family, encourage the people around you. And I had a podcast about this recently, and I think that there was a bit of a comment Nate made earlier that kind of poked at this, but everybody is essential in this time period right now. Like, there's nobody in the world right now that is a non-essential person. You are essential to your family members at home. You're essential to your friends to not go see them, to potentially put them at risk or yourself at risk. You're essential to encourage the people who are having a really hard time with this. There's a lot of people who are suffering at home. And I think it's very important to encourage the people around you. And it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to be down about this because it's hard. But also remember that the world at a whole is going through this with you. It's not just you. It's not just your family. The entire world is feeling this right now. So stay at home is important for, yes, for your own health and safety, but also for your friends. So some aspect of this as well is, like, you potentially could get COVID-19 and not show any symptoms. So you could go and see your buddy and, you know what, I could go have a beer with a friend and it's not going to be a huge deal. No one's going to know. I'm not hugging him. I'm not going to, with a group of people, but there is that chance that you potentially could pass that along to somebody, which then could pass it along to their whole family. And it's very important, you guys, that you self-isolate and you take it seriously, because you are helping and saving a lot of people around you by doing this. You might not be seeing the effects of this right now in your community, and that's a good thing. That's because you guys are staying home and taking this very serious. And I think that if we can all leave this process feeling like, wow, I think staying home was way over the top, I think this was unnecessary, then I think it was a success. I think that we've done the right thing if that's how we feel at the end of this. And the reason I kind of brought up the whole New York situation is because that's reality in a lot of places in the world right now. We're not seeing that here because the government got on it a little bit earlier, and which is really good. But yeah, just stay healthy, guys, stay positive, encourage the people around you, and, pray because we want to see this end sooner than later. So, but, yeah.
Absolutely. No, thank you for saying that and kind of summarizing those thoughts, because this is a battle, and this is where our society, is, whether we want to be or not. But I really appreciate that encouragement. And guys, if you want to kind of enjoy more of, you know, Curtis's thoughts and the encouragement that he brings, just like in this moment that I'm feeling really grateful, please do check out his podcast, Curtis Anderton Show. You know, that's one thing that I love about you, my friend. There's another thing that I love about you, and it's not even you, it's your wife. I've known you and Shelby ever since our early couch and camp days, before you were ever even married. Shelby is one of the most encouraging and authentic humans I've ever met. You're now in your 7th year of marriage. So, for like this shift to this topic, my question is for you, what is something she's taught you about marriage that you would want others to understand?
This is a big question. I took some time, to really process this one. And there's a lot of things that I have learned from Shelby and from time in being in this relationship. And there's a lot of things I'd want to talk about, but the most important thing that came to mind and the biggest thing that's come to mind is I have learned what love truly is. From being married to Shelby for the last 7 years and being in a relationship with her for, we've known each other for almost 15 years now, I think. And the act of love that she shows me on a daily basis, every single morning she wakes up and chooses to love me. I'm an extremely annoying person. I used to be extremely messy.
Tell me about it.
I'm very, very hard to deal with. And Shelby chooses every single morning to love me and to pursue me and to take care of me, to clean our home, there's so many acts of service and love that she shows me on a daily basis. And I think that's the biggest thing, is her endless actions towards me, no matter whether I'm annoying her, she's not feeling like it, it's been a hard week, she always chooses to love me. And I think that's a huge replica of what God's love is for us. Is that it's never ending. There's nothing you can do to change that. And part of that is her forgiveness for me. Like, I mess up so much. I have tormented her in so many ways. And she always forgives me, moves forward, encourages me, shows me more love than I've ever experienced before that time period. Like, if we go through a really hard season, and like, let me tell you, if you have not been in a long-term relationship is extremely hard. They don't teach you that in school, but it is. And it's something that you have to work on so much and be very, very intentional about. And Shelby's constant pursuit of me has changed my life in so many ways. She's made me want to be a better husband, want to be a better friend, a better paramedic, a better person in so many ways. She's encouraged me through every stage of my life to this point. I'm extremely blessed. And yeah, like the biggest thing is just her love and her decisions towards me on a daily basis has changed my life forever. And I'm extremely appreciative of that. So that's the number one thing I've learned from her. Second small thing in a big way is she is an extreme dreamer. And not only that, is she takes actions on her dreams. And that's something that's also changed my life, is everything she set her mind to, she's accomplished. And, it's super inspiring seeing her voice a goal of hers and a dream of hers. And then within a year or two, she's done it, or done it in a bigger scale than she even planned on. And it's,
like these traveling.
Exactly. Trip, yeah.
Right.
Shelby has planned from, as soon as we got, well, before we were married, Shelby had a goal to go to Asia after she, Southeast Asia, on a backpacking trip before she went to school. That was her goal. And so she planned that and worked really hard for that while she was in school for 6 years, and finally made this 2-month trip happen we got to do last year, which was incredible. She, and just so many other things, whether it's fitness, traveling, friendship, her work, she sets these kind of goals in place, and sometimes she doesn't even tell me what she's doing, and she just always takes the steps she needs to get to that point. It's super inspiring. She does an endless amount of stuff for us. And it's an absolutely incredible, I'm a very, very lucky man.
No doubt. You know what, when you were saying before, just the way that she's chosen you and she continues to choose you, I see God's love in that. I see so clearly the way that, you know, as the gospel tells us, we are wretches, and Jesus shows it's funny to say it, but like,
it's true.
You know, we have no business deserving the love that Jesus showed us. And we're just coming out of this Easter season just a week ago, where Jesus broke the bank and he traded his crown in heaven for a crown of thorns, and he died for our sins.
Yeah.
And in that sacrifice, he showed us the greatest example of love. And you know what, I've been in long-term relationships before, and I've watched your relationship move from infancy, from just early dating, to being in your 7th year of marriage. And I haven't seen where it's been like super easy, super roses. I've seen the battles. I've seen you in the trenches. And you know what? I really appreciate that, because the reality of a dating life, a marriage life, and just the life of a Christian is a battle. Mm-hmm. And it's a worthy battle.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, you would absolutely never trade it for the world.
No.
If I know you and I know what your marriage is like, this is everything. And you know what? I just I appreciate the way that you look at learning, because you are open to learning. You are open to hearing from Jesus as he takes you through challenges in your personal life, as you grow in your professional life with all this business stuff, and as you grow an influence with the people around you in your life, whether that's school, work, whatever. We're in an incredible moment, and you know, we're coming to the end of our time here in this podcast, and I just think, you know, I appreciate the person that you are for me, the way that you encourage me. And you know what, I just want to say thanks for sharing the thoughts that you had today. I know that there's so much that we could talk about. There's yeah. so many ways that we could continue these conversations and move forward and talk about an incredible amount of other things on our minds too. I know you and I have been throwing around the idea of doing a little recurring podcast interview kind of fun show thing.
100%.
We're going to develop that, and hopefully that'll kind of come to fruition. But you know what, in terms of today's podcast, we're at time, but when it comes to the growth and the learning that we both are still going to walk through. I just appreciate your friendship and the brother that you are, the way that you've been there when I needed you. So thanks for being on this journey with me, my friend. Thank you for being on this interview today. This has been a fantastic way to start off my interview season with a private service announcement. Everybody who's listening, make sure, for real, make sure you go and check out the Curtis Anderton Show. It's on Anchor, which is the awesome platform that Curtis and I both distribute our podcasts from. It's on Spotify, Apple, and Google Music, or whatever different podcast platforms that you would find yours. Go check out Filthy Shades. Go see some ridiculous content by this creative man.
Oh my You'll gosh. Laugh.
There's a couple good clip art slash Photoshop pictures in there that I can't unsee. Thank you, Curtis, for your time. Have a great day, and we will see you in a future episode awesome. Of A Private Service Announcement.
Thank you so much, Nate. I appreciate it, brother. And thank you, everybody, for listening, and hopefully catch you later.
So there you have it. That's the first completed interview episode of A Private Service Announcement. I want to say thank you one more time to Curtis Anderton for jumping on this show and getting the ball rolling. I've been thinking about this for a while, and it's finally here. I was excited with how this one turned out, but I am very interested in what you, the listeners, thought about this first interview episode. What are some questions I could have asked? What are some things you were hoping I would do? Or what do you think are some things that I could do a little different next time? If you like this episode, please consider sharing this with one friend, telling somebody about A Private Service Announcement, maybe somebody who might appreciate any of the topics that were discussed today. If you have any feedback for me, please, please reach out to me directly. You can shoot me a message on Facebook or post on my A Private Service Announcement Facebook page. You know what? Any of those things are appreciated. And even just the listen, I really do appreciate your encouragement and the support that you're giving me by just clicking on an episode and having a listen. So one more time, thank you for tuning in to today's Private Service Announcement. That concludes our episode. I will see you, hear you, talk to you in the next one.